Today she is Masecht Basra Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Mekablim Pigdoinus. We do not accept if somebody asks somebody else to hold something for them. Ein Mekablim Pigdoinus Lemin Anoshim. We don't accept Pigdoinus from wives. V'loi, because we have to be concerned that maybe what they're asking us to watch is something which they have stolen from their husband. V'loi min avadim, again, not from avadim kananim, same concern. We need to be concerned that maybe what they're asking us to watch they stole from their owner. V'loi min atanoikis, nor from children, same concern. Maybe they stole it from where they live. Kibel Meisha, however, if one accepted a pikadim from a woman, Yachs Elisha, it should be returned to the woman. We can't be certain that what they're asking us to watch is stolen, and therefore we have no right to give it back to the husband under the assumption that it was stolen from the husband. Rather, we have to be concerned that what she gave us is truly hers. V'mesa, but if after she asked the wife, asked us to watch something, she passed away, and now we have it, and we have a question to whom to return it. Not aloch is yachsil ba'alam. We should return it to a husband. Kibel min eved, and the simile, if we receive the bekadim from an eved, yachsil eved, we return it to the eved. However, v'meis, if the eved passes away, yachsil rabbi, we give it back to his owner. Kibel mana cotton, if we haven't received something from a cotton. And again, even though, as Tysus explains, we just said we shouldn't receive a cotton from a cotton because we need to be concerned whose result is it. But now we're dealing with a situation where we received the cotton. We can't assume, says Tysus in explaining the Gemara, that this cotton is a ganef. Rather, we have to assume that he found something and it's legitimately his, and therefore kibul min hakatan, we can't give it. So now we don't assume, as we just finished explaining, that he's a ganef. On the other hand, we can't give it to him because he's a katan. And if we're going, and as the Rashbam explains, if we're going to return it to him, we're like putting it in a place where it could easily get lost. The Machna Ephraim, in fact, says, what would be the halacha if one returned the bekadim to the katan and now it got lost? So since we had no right to give it to the katan, we had to be concerned that the katan won't watch it properly. The halacha is that I'm going to be responsible. Why? So the Machna Ephraim explains, because somebody who gives something back to a katan is considered like he's a mazik. Like, and the mazik, of course, is chayiv. Another pshat that Dagos Eshri explains, that once the cotton asked me to watch it, so I become a shomer, and all of the halachas of a shomer apply. And of course, one of the first, most important halachas that apply to a shomer is that whatever a shomer is watching, he has to put what he's watching in a safe place. Giving it to the cotton does not mean that you put it in a safe place. The Rashba and the Ritva, however, say that the halacha really is that we are allowed to give it to the cotton. If the cotton gave it to us, we should give it to him. What our Gemara says, the Yasalai Skula, which the Gemara will explain soon, what Yasalai Skula means, it's only to be Yotzi Dei Shemayim. But if indeed you gave it back to the cotton, you will not be held responsible. Moreover, they point out that in Halacha, there are two different types of ketanim. There's a cotton who's a cotton, and then there's a cotton Shigia L'Oinas Haputos. A cotton shigil oinus aputis, a cotton that's very young, means that he doesn't have any intellect according to the halacha. Higia lo'oimis aputis means a cotton that has a level of intelligence. So in the halacha, we know by cotton higia lo'oimis aputis, the halacha is if he makes a nether, we take that nether into consideration. A sale, a transaction that he made is considered a valid sale. And therefore they suggest that the cotton that we're discussing in our Gemara is a cotton shlo higia lo'oimis aputis. But if they are in the age of that they came to that pu'utos, then you'll have to return it to them l'chatchila. The Rebbe Chanan says that no, that if to understand what the Rashbam is saying in our Gemara, says Rebbe Chanan that the Rashbam doesn't agree to that differentiation, and that our Gemara is even speaking about a cotton shegia l'oynas aputus, a cotton that came to that level of intelligence, and still the halacha is that we should not give it back to him. Rather, as we said, and the Gemara will explain shortly, Yaslai Skula, we should make something out of that. The mace, and if the cotton passed away, Yaxli Yarsha, we should give him to his Yarshim, his father, or his father, or his brothers. So the reason, as I said, the Rashbam explains why we should not receive a cotton from any of these individuals, is because we have to be concerned that maybe what they're giving us is something which they have stolen. And there's a concept in halacha of osel l'sayel advar over avera. We're not allowed to help somebody who did an avera. So by us accepting bekonim from them, we're helping somebody who did an avera. The Rama says a different explanation. He says the assumption is that these individuals are people that don't have their own money. So how are they giving that things to them, that how are we letting, taking things from them which we should be concerned don't really belong to them? However, Britva makes a point. He says the halacha is that if a woman, and we discussed this in our previous year, under certain circumstances, if a woman claims that what she has is something that she legitimately got, for example, she got it because she received it from somebody with the stipulation that her husband may not have any benefit from it. So the halacha is that is really hers. But in our Gemara, he explains, the fact that she's going over to somebody, to a stranger, and asking this individual, please watch this object for me, there's something that doesn't sound right here. And because of that concern, that's why the halacha is we shouldn't accept it. We have to be concerned. Continues the Gemara. For kulin sh'amra b'shas misasan. But all of these individuals, the isha, the evan, the cotton, who said at the time of as they're passing away that ashaplani heim, they belong to this individual. And here too, Rabbi Chanan again says that we need to understand kulon here. Certainly we understand this halacha that we're learning now by an isha and an eved. But what's going to be by a cotton? So if we're going to follow the opinion that our Gemara is speaking about a cotton shloigil oinas aputis, we're speaking about a cotton who hasn't come to the age of intelligence, so then it doesn't make a difference if they're saying it mishas misosin. The fact that this individual is a cotton and doesn't have das is enough of a reason not to accept what he's saying. Now we shouldn't say. So therefore, he says that we're not speaking about a cotton, or maybe we're speaking about a cotton shigil or saputus. Yasin kipurushan. We should do what as they instruct us. However, v'imlav, if the person who's watching this item is concerned that what they're saying is untrue, and that what they're saying, it really doesn't belong to them, what they asked us to watch, yasu purush leperushin. They should not return it to the person. They should not give it back. They should not follow his instruction. They should give it back to the husband. They should give it back to the owner of the object, the owner of the evidence, and not make an assumption that it belongs to do what they said. We've learned many times that when a woman comes into marriage, she brings assets, nechsi melug and nechsi tzoyim bazel. And when we speak about the meluchsi melug, we've always said that the woman owns the kinyan aguf, the actual karka, the actual nechassim belong to her husband. Her husband has the right to the produce. So if we also, as we just discussed a few moments ago, if somebody gives a woman something on the condition that her husband should not have any part of it, it's hers. The Rambam paskins that since most money in a woman's possession is nechsim melug, a married woman is not to believe the claim that certain property in her possession is completely her own. The Rashbam, quoting the Reed, says that even though it's unusual for a married woman to own property, but since we see that the woman is the muhsik, she's in possession of this property, she's believed to say that it was given to her as a gift exclusively for herself. So the question is that the Braisa says that if the married woman gives something to a shomer, and now when she's about to die, she claims that it should be given to whoever she wants to give, the shomer should believe her and give the money to that individual, as long as what she's saying, as the Gemara just said, seems to be plausible. Says the Ramban, that this Braisa seems to substantiate the Reed's position that a married woman is believed to claim ownership of an item in her position. But according to the Rambam, we need to understand why should the Shomer under any circumstances listen to what the wife is saying and give this to a third party when we know that when the Rambam says we always have to assume that everything she has is nechsim melug and the peres belong to her husband. Says the Ramban, quoting Yerushalmi, that here we're speaking about a person, b'shas misotzen. A person, there's an assumption in halacha that a person who's on their deathbed is not going to lie. And therefore, even though when under normal circumstances, we need to assume that whatever she has, whatever assets we found with her, are nechsei melug, if on her deathbed she says something, there's a greater reason to believe what she's saying is true. And therefore, unless there's a reason not to believe her, we do as she said. Says the Gemara, the visa de Rabbi Babachana, the wife of Rabbi Babachana, ki kashokhva, as she was passing away, Amra, she said, Hani kipi, these earrings that I have are not mine. Rather, they belong to Marta ubnei Marta. They belong to this family. Osla kamei de Rav, so they came to Rav, and Rav said them, Ima hemnaloch, if you believe what she said, that these earrings are really not hers, and she didn't steal them, that she was holding on to them, and now she says, return it to the person who owns it, then aseki perusha, do as she said. Filoi, but if you don't, if you're concerned what she's saying is not true, say pirush la perusha, then give it back. You could keep it. Don't just give it to whom she says. You can't assume that what she's saying is true. V'ikad amri, but there's a different version of what was said. Hachamalei, this word Rav said to Rabbi Bachana. I amidalach, if the person that she said owned these earrings are people you know to be wealthy people, asay kipurusha, so then return it to them. Could there's every reason to believe that those people indeed are the owner of this jewelry, viloy? But if the people who she said who should give it to are not wealthy people, so it's not something that makes sense that they would have these type of expensive earrings, and therefore asay pirush lapurusha, and you don't have to return it to them. And actually, as the Rishonim explained, you could hold on to it. We said further in the Braisa earlier, Menakotin, if the person accepted a Bikotin from a Kotin, what should he do with it? Yasloi Segula. Ask the Gemara, what is the definition of my Segula? What is the definition of Segula? Chizda Masefet Torah. He you should buy with a sefer. You should buy with it a sefer Torah, so the person will have that. This young person will have a sefer Torah that he'll be able to have for the rest of his life. Rabbi Rafunama Dikla, buy a palm tree, Dachamena Tramri, that will constantly give dates, and I'll have, and it'll last a long time, and I'll have a source of food from it. Taksam Seifer says, when it says to buy a sefer, it means that specifically a sefer Torah. He says, because the halacha is that everybody, the Torah says, V'atam kisfalu, as a shira azois, we have a chiv, there's a mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah, so you have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, help him fulfill that mitzvah. The other opinion says buy a dekel, and that dekel will be here as he becomes a adult, and therefore, at that point, he'll be able to decide what is the best that he should do with his money. And Chassam Seifer explains that what is the basis of the discussion here in the Gemara. Says Chassam Seifer, the basis of the discussion here in the Gemara is, do we have an obligation to try to help a katan fulfill a mitzvah? The mandam that says that you should buy a sefer Torah holds that that's part of our obligation, to help this katan fulfill a mitzvah. The other opinion says the katan will worry about his mitzvahs as he becomes an adult. The Paiskim discuss a question: if somebody wrote a sefer Torah and then he gives it to someone else, he sells it or gets lost, has he been mekayim the mitzvah? Because he did the mitzvah, was he mekayim the mitzvah, or it's only the mitzvah as long as he owns the sefer Torah? The Tiras Chaim in Masechta Sanhedrin says that if you have a sefer Torah and then you give it away or you lose it, you have lost that mitzvah. The many poskim say that if you did the mitzvah, even if the situation changes, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. And that mitzvah remains with you forever. And that's the opinion of the Shas of Tshuvas Ber Yitzchak. But the Das Kedoshim says that, for example, if somebody has a Sefer Torah written and he's leaving it in a shul, obviously, the right thing to do, he says, is not to donate the Sefer Torah to the shul, to allow the shul to have it, but you should retain ownership. And there's a discussion from our Gemara. Our Gemara just said that, the Gemara says that what's the Yeskula? He should make a Sefer Torah. But the question is, if the Sefer Torah is, if the Sefer Torah is something that you are yoitz the mitzvah right away, so it's not something that, if we say that a Sefer Torah is something that you have to have forever, so we understand why the Gemara suggested that the Sefer Torah is a great investment, because it's going to be something that you will have forever. But if we're saying that you don't have to have the Sefer Torah forever in order to be mekayim the mitzvah, so then why is the Gemara suggesting to buy a Sefer Torah? The Rashbam says, why should you buy a Sefer Torah? He says, Sefer Torah l'lmoy bo. You should have a Sefer Torah to learn from it. There's a question, as we said a moment ago, there's a mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. And the Achronim discuss if the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah was said to women as well. The Shagas Aryeh in Similam and Hay has a long discussion. And he says that they are obligated. And the Shas Tshuvas Drashtav Acharkarta in Parshas Vayelech brings a rye from Nasha Klein Tzal that to the opinion of the Shagas Aryeh, our Gemara said Yasa Skula, and the Gemara says that what is the Skula? A Skula is a Sefer Torah. He says there's another Gemara which we're going to have later in the Masechta on that Peizayim and Beis. Hachoyvu Banav B'Noisu Shalcherim. If somebody hits somebody else's children, Yasa Skula, and what's the Skula? A Sefer Torah. So why, if you hit somebody's children, is the recommendation to buy a Sefer Torah? By girls, there's no mitzvah
of Sefer Torah. So we see from here that girls also have a chiyuv of ksiva Sefer Torah. We learned in our Mishnah, a father doesn't have a chazaka in his son's property, nor does the son have a chazaka in his father's property. Amar of Yosef, afilu cholku. Even if they're not supporting each other, since it's common that a son should use something that belongs to the father or vice versa, so then the halacha is that they can't have a chazak. Rav Amma Cholkoloi. If they separated, then they don't have the then they have the ability to have a chazaka. Amar of Yemi Medifta over a papi of the Cholku, that if they divided, like Karava, not like the opinion of Rava, they don't have, and those, he paskened like Rava, and that if they divided, if they're not living together, they can have chazaka. Amram Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Ishtoyli Rav Chima Humas Ad Dishter, Ishtoyli Rav Achim Ishmed Rav Achim Bayakov, Cholkuloi, that if they separated, they don't have a, then the halach is, that's not what the Mishnah is discussing. For Hilchasan, that is indeed the halacha. Cholku, if they separated, loy, the din of the Mishnah doesn't apply, and they can achieve a chazaka one against each other. Tanya Nami Hachi, it says the Gemara, so do we indeed learn in Braisa, ben shecholuk, if a son is not living with his father, v'ishtesh nezgarsha, or a wife who divorced, harein k'shar kol adam, like they're like everybody else, and they could achieve a chazaka. Says the Gemara, Itmar. Our Gemara begins with a situation where there's a father who passed away, and the sons are his yorshim. And now, says the Gemara, Echemanam Achim, one of the brothers, he is the one that's taking care of all of the assets that they inherited from the father. And now there are documents that he bought property, or shtoris, or documents of loan, yotzen al shmoi, that go out on his name. Vomar, and this brother says, shalihim, these are my own private business. There's nothing to do with what we inherited. Because shenafalim beis avi abba ima, we may have all had the same mother, same father, and that's the assets that we are discussing. I had a different mother, and these assets I got from my mother's side. And they don't know, and we don't know if what he's saying, should we believe him or not? Amar Rav, Olav Lahavi Raya. He has to be able to bring a Raya. Shumama, he has to bring a Raya that these assets are only his. Shumama, Alachan Lahavi Raya. If the brothers have to, they have to bring a raya. So the Rishonim point out that even though our Gemara is quoting a machloikis of machloikis, do we believe him or not? And we have the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. There are circumstances when there's no argument. So in other words, if there's a case where he says, "Well, I got assets from my mother's side," but we know that that's not true, or so then, for sure, we don't. We believe the brothers who are accusing him. On the other hand, if we know for certain that he did get a Yerusha from his mother's side, so then, of course, we believe him. Another place is, let's say, these assets and these deals that he signed to were all in the time before they inherited the state. So at that point, there's no reason to believe that that these are anything but his own private business. Another situation is, let's say he's not a nice of a nice, and he's not doing business. He's just holding on to the money. There, the halacha is that whenever somebody's holding on to somebody else's money, then we for sure have to be concerned whether did he use his own money for deals or did he use the money that he's holding on to. So says Shmuel, Maidali Abba, Rav, throughout Shas, we know the Rav was known as Rav. The Abba and Rav, and Abba is a title of honor. Mightily Ra Abba Emes, if this brother died, so he's not here to be able to defend himself. On that case, our Achim Lavi Raya, if they want to claim that these assets were from the estate of their father, they will have to prove it. Maskela Rapapa Klum Tanina Leilias Midid Leiton Lava One. Why would we make a claim that the father couldn't have made, and we make the claim for the assignment? As we just learned, if the father were alive, the halacha is that the father would have to prove that these were from his own money. So why should it be any different for the children? Says the Gemara. And Varava, Apigzuga the Sarbel of Sarfa Dagarata Miyasmi. Rava forced the Yisoyimim to give up expensive scissors that were used in making garments, and Safri Agarata, the Beloy Raya, that without a Raya, that we have, he didn't leave it in the Cheskes Yisoyimim, because these were things, but Varam Hasuim Lahash Laska, things that are usually given out to lend. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, Safra Agarata was something that they often gave out to lend. Because they didn't learn that much Agarata. So since they didn't learn that much Agarata, there's a suggestion that's not theirs. Says the Gemara, Kiddushalach, and the reason that just because I have it doesn't mean it's mine. Kiddushalach Rav Huna Bar Oven, Tvarim Asuim Lahash Lahaskel, things that are very often lent out. Vamar, and we know that these assets belong to Ruvain, and we find them in Shimon. And Shimon says, the reason they're by me is because L'kuchanei B'yodi, I bought them, ain't in them, and we don't believe. We have a good reason to believe that they just borrowed. So now the question is, that why did Shmuel say the Rav is going to agree that if the father died, then the brothers have to bring a raya? Why should it be that way? They just like their father would have to bring a raya, so too should the Yisoyim have to bring a raya. And indeed, says the Gemara Kasha, the Gemara has a question, why did Shmuel say what he said? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, what Rav said, that he has to bring a raya, that these assets really belong to him. They're even partners b'sosin in the bread that they eat. But ava chalukin b'sosin, they may be partners, but they're not completely attached to each other. They don't eat food together. So then the brother who has these assets could always say, this belongs to me. And how did I get it? Nisosa kimates. I didn't eat, and I was able to save money to buy these assets. So I saw that the Rishonim debate. The Magid Mishnah quotes the Rashba that, yes, somebody could save money by not eating. But how much money could you save by not eating? So the Rashba says, yes, we're talking about that he could claim that I saved money and that's how I was able to buy the assets. We need to evaluate, does that make sense? And did he save that much money that he could use that much money to buy the assets we see in his name? If it doesn't add up that the money he saved equals the assets he's bought, so this whole claim falls away. The Torah disagrees that once we have a place to say that he had his own money, even though it doesn't make sense that with that little money he had, he would have never had the ability to buy all the assets that are in his name. We don't understand. Sometimes somebody starts off just with a little money and he's able to do very well with that little amount of money. And therefore, we can no longer say that it must have been part from the brothers. The Gemara said that the brother, according to Rav, had that has to bring a rayish in the chosim shaloi. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ray b'mai, how will he bring a raya? Rav Amar, ray b'edim. He has to be able to bring a raya. How he got these assets, how he got the money to buy these assets. Rashesh Samar ray b'kim ashtar. He has to bring edim on the shtaris. He has to bring edim on the shtaris that say, that verify the shtar. So Rashbam makes a very, very important point here. Throughout Shas, when we think about Kiyum Shtaris, we think about Kiyum Shtaris that there are Edom signed on the Shtar, and we have to, and when we want to certify a Shtar, we have to verify that this is indeed their signature. And once we're able to verify that this is indeed their signature, we need not do any more. But I saw that the Rashbam here actually says that it's much more than that. Al Gemara is saying that you have to bring a raya b'kim ashtar. Why? How will raya and kim ashtar, bringing a raya on the edim who signed the shtar, help us any regarding what it says in the shtar? So says the Rashbam, from here we see that included in the obligation of the Bezdin to do kim ashtar is to know what it says, the shtar. And if we can't verify that we believe what it says in the shtar, even though we could verify that this is indeed the signature of the Edom, it wouldn't be enough. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman. HaRav, we have the opinion of Rav. HaShmul, we have the opinion, Rav's opinion is that this brother has to prove that how he got these assets. We have Shmuel that says it's the brothers who are accusing him who have to prove their point. HaRava, who holds like Rav, that you have to be able to bring Rai with Edom. HaRav Sheshes says you have to bring Rai with Kim Shtar. And now they ask Rav Nachman, who we know throughout Shas was a great expert in the Dine Mominus, Command Sphirle, what do you hold? Amalei. So Rav Nachman responded, Anomas Nisiyadana. I know what it says in the Braisa. The Tanya Echem and Achem Shai Nois V'Nois B'Tech HaBayis. If one of the brothers is the administrator of the estate that the father left over, V'Yo'oynes V'Shtaros Yotin L'Shmayin, there are all sorts of assets listed on his name. Sh'nafala V'Omar, and he says, Shalihain, all these are my own private assets. Sh'nafali M'Beis Avi Ima, I had my own money from my mother's side. Olav L'Aviraya, he paskins like Rav. V'Chen Isha, and similarly, an almana, she nosas from the senes b'toich habayis. She has money in the house, is running the money that her father left over, that her husband left over, and the assets that belong to the assignment. V'ayonis v'shtaros yotzen al shema. V'amra, now she claims shalihein, because I had my own money, sh'nafli m'beis avi'abba from my father's side, I have a Yerusha, or beis avi'ima from my mother's side, the halacha is olav l'havi raya. She has to bring proof that she has to, that it's hers. And the Sma says, the sanas from sanas b'toich habayis doesn't only mean that she's doing business. She has access to the money. As soon as she has access to the money, we right away she has to be able to prove that it's her money. My v'chein. So ask them what was meant by comparing the halacha of the isha to the halacha of the yisoymen. Manataima. So we'd say isha kiva the shvicha lemesa. To her, it's a great honor that she is given the right to take care of the money of that her father, that her husband left over. Damer. She was given the honor, and she's the individual who's being trusted with the money of the assignment. And certainly she's a woman that we need not be concerned. We need not be concerned that she's going to steal anything from the assignment. Kamash Malan, she may feel very, very, very good about it. The halacha is that we still have to be concerned. However, the Ramah, quoting the Reina Yeruchim, that Al Gemara is speaking about a wife, a mother of the Yisoymim. Al Gemara is speaking about a brother. But if it's somebody who was asked to run the assets, to take care of those assets, then the halacha is very different. Says the Gemara, b'medva mamurim, b'machzik, av mois matana, v'achim shecholku, v'machzik b'nichse eger, noil upara, v'gado upara's koshu. If he, so now the Mishnah, as we explained, is beginning to speak about a different definition of chazaka. Now we start speaking about chazaka, of doing an act of chazaka, which gives you ownership. That's the way of making a kinyan and property. Ask the Gemara, Otakala and the Mirim, all the other people that mentioned the Mishnah, Labnei Chazaka Nenu, not the people who could make a Chazaka. Says the Gemara, Chsur Mechzvachtani. B'medvam Amurim, when do we, B'medvam Amurim, B'chazaka Sheshimai Tana, when do we have all these halachas? The Chazaka that we've been discussing in our whole parak primarily, a Chazaka that I've been on the property, and Kigoyim, for example, as we normally have been discussing, the seller of this property says, I never sold you the property. And the buyer says, I did buy it. That's when we have that if I'm on the property 3 years, even though you're saying, where's your deed, I didn't hold on to it. In a situation where there is no taina. Somebody gives somebody a gift. Brothers are dividing up Yerusha. A ger is the only person in that's a Jew that may not have, that possibly doesn't have any relatives. So if he dies that way, what he leaves is hefker. And whoever does a maisa kinyan, whoever does an act of kinyan, it becomes his. So here the definition of chazaka, it means a way of achieving a kinyan. Nol, if he made a lock on the door. Godar, or he made a fence. Paratz, or he opened up the fence. Hakoshu, even a small amount. In all these cases, harezu chazaka. And now we're learning that there are two types of chazaka, as the Rishonim say. One is Cheskes Raya, which has been the primary subject. And now we're talking about Cheskes Kinyan, how Kinyan, a Chazok is a Kinyan. Tani Reb Oishia, B'Kedushin Be'Levi. There was a set of brises on Masech the Kedushin that were taught in the yeshiva of Levi. No God of Paras Koshu, but fun of, if in front of the seller this was done, Hareza Chuzaka, you have a Chazaka, you have a Chazaka. Ask the Gemara, the fun of in, only if it was done in front of the seller, is there a kinyan chazaka? Shloi b'fun of loy, if he's not there, if the seller, the moicher is not there, you don't have a chazaka. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Hachikama. B'fun of, if the seller is there, loy tzarech l'meimelei, the owner, the seller does not have to say, lei chazek v'kni. The fact that he sees me making a chazaka, meet a buyer, that is enough. Shloi b'fun of, but if it's not in front of him, the only way a chazaka will be acceptable is if he told me, lei chazek v'kni, because maybe he never meant to give it, he never really meant to consummate the kinyan. Only when we see for sure that he says, lei chazek v'kni, that's clearly indication that that he's serious about this deal, and then when I make a chazaka, it's going to be a valid chazaka. The Torah and Parasha Shlach, when the Torah speaks about the Meraglim who went to spy Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, V'yom yimei b'kuri anovim. And many Mefarshim try to understand what does the Torah want to teach us by saying, V'yom yimei Bikurei Anovim. So I saw that the Sefer Daf Aladaf quotes a Sefer L'mizbe Kroy, that the Rambam says that eating the fruit of a karka, of a property, is considered a kinyan, is a kinyan on the property. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu told the Meraglim to bring from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. By taking the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, that's how they're going to make a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. But the Ravid says that just eating fruit from a property, does not represent a kinyan. The only time it's a kinyan is if you did something that improves the property, like we learned in our Gemara. Nol, Godar, Uparatz. However, he says that the Raiva will agree that since Eretz Yisrael Muchzakas Lanam Avaseinu, as the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph says, our relationship to Eretz Yisrael goes back to the Avos HaKadoshim. So, therefore, even if the Raiva holds that eating fruit is inadequate, for this it's going to be good enough. So now he explains that if it's at the end of the season, if it's during the season, so people are not that particular if somebody takes a fruit off the tree. But at the end of the season, taking a fruit off the tree, when it's valuable, then the owners care. So he says, everybody will agree that the meraglim taking fruit off the trees in Eretz Yisrael is a ma'aseh kinyan. But it's only a good ma'aseh kinyan if the fruit is ready to be picked. And that's why the pasuk had to say, Moshe Rabbeinu says, take fruit. And the Rambam and the Ravid are going to agree that taking fruit is a valid way of making a kinyan. But it has to be fruit of yomim yomei bikurei anovim, where the grapes are already ripe, and then that will be considered a valid act of kinyan.